This is Roy Bailey, and you're listening to Sheffield Live, number one for Sheffield music.
We're open for business live.
Good morning. It's just after 9 o'clock. It's Friday. It's the 16th of November, 2018. I'm Jamie Veitch, your host for the next hour for Sheffield Live's business and social enterprise programme, Business Live. And we are broadcasting live through Sheffield Live FM radio, through our internet live stream as well. However you're listening, the programme will also be available as a podcast from our website later on. And talking podcasts, last week's show is up on the Sheffield Live website. Go to sheffieldlive.org, look up radio shows, find Business Live, and you can discover and you can meet Steph Lowe and Max Monday of the Sheffield Carers Centre and coach Lucy Owens. Steph and Max were discussing the new Sheffield Carers card, enabling businesses here in the city to offer discounted products and services to Sheffield's carers. And there are thousands of carers in Sheffield, and they contribute an enormous amount to the well-being of our city. And they deserve some treats. They deserve discounts on essential goods and services, Steph and Max told me last week. And the Sheffield Carers card, which is launching at the end of the month, is all about enabling that. Lucy Owens on the programme last week talked about her work enabling, supporting business people, individuals and large and small organisations. It was a really fascinating chat. I enjoyed it immensely. And if you missed Lucy, Steph and Max, catch the podcast of last Friday's programme. But that was then, this is now. Who do we have today? Well, I'm really pleased that in the studio with us, Steve Manley, the joint MD of Universal Office Products and, at 43 years old, the youngest ever president of the Sheffield Chamber. He's a former teenage entrepreneur, and he's going to tell us all about his priorities for his presidential year and much, much more. I'm really looking forward to speaking with Steve. Also in the studio with us, we have Anjay Kirpiel, and he runs Be Blessed, a newly launched Sheffield-based not-for-profit social enterprise. And I'm totally looking forward to speaking with Anjay as well. Before we do, though, before we turn to our guests, what's going on in business? What's going on in social enterprise? What's going on with you? Well, it was International World UK Social Enterprise Day yesterday. That was a chance to celebrate social enterprise. It was a chance to celebrate the UK's 100,000 social enterprises, which collectively employ 2 million people and contribute £60 billion to the UK's economy. That's pretty staggering. And the hashtag who knew was trending all day on Twitter yesterday, with social enterprises sharing their success, their growth, their employment, the jobs they're creating, the products and services that they sell. So check out the who knew hashtag if you're a Twitter user to find out more, and take a look at Social Enterprise UK for some more fascinating facts and stats about social enterprise in the United Kingdom. What else is going on? Well, McLaren Automotive have opened their new composite technology centre in Rotherham. It was opened by the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge last Wednesday. It's a £50 million facility. It's on the edge of Rotherham and Sheffield, and it aims to become a world leader in lightweight carbon fibre and composites technology. And Sheffield City Region made a financial investment into the project. Partners include the University of Sheffield, the City Council, Sheffield City Council and Rotherham Council, who've worked closely with McLaren throughout the process. What else is going on? Well, the Rugby World Cup Back the Bid campaign has kicked off here in Sheffield, with Sheffielders being asked to get behind the city's bid for the Rugby League World Cup in 2021. That could see the world's most diverse rugby league tournament ever held being brought to Sheffield. So the World Cup is being held in England in 2021. There have been two stages of bidding so far. Sheffield has been shortlisted to the final 24 cities and towns that could be selected to host the global event in 3 years' time. And supporters are being urged to get behind the bid right now. What else have I noticed going on in business in social enterprise this week? Well, Virgin Media and EE have both been fined £13 million due to overcharging their customers who wanted to terminate contracts early. They've been fined by Ofcom, the regulator, which stated they'd left customers in need of cash due to early exit charges. So, I'm always interested in hearing from you. What have you been up to? Whether you're running a business, whether you're running a social enterprise, whether you're an employer, an employee, you can get in touch. All you need to do is drop me a line, jamie@sheffieldlive.org. Send a text, 07904 272 200. Find me, Jamie Veitch, on Twitter. Find Sheffield Live on Twitter as well. Because whether you're running a business or a social enterprise, an employer, an employee, we're always keen to hear from you. Do get in touch, put yourself forward, comment on something that's going on and how it affects you. Love to hear from you. I think without further ado, it's time to turn to our first guest. So I'm really pleased, as I mentioned, that Steve Manley, who's a joint MD of Universal Office Products and youngest ever chamber president, is in the studio. We'll be turning to Steve in a few minutes. But before we do, I'm also really pleased that Anjay Kirpiel of Be Blessed is here in the studio.
Good morning, Jamie. Thanks for inviting me. Talking of celebrating social enterprise in the UK, I'm really privileged to be doing that today with you on this show. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for coming in, and it's going to be really interesting to talk with you. So I mentioned Be Blessed, a newly launched Sheffield-based not-for-profit social enterprise. Okay, that's great. I'd like to hear more. Can you tell us what it is Be Blessed will do? And you actually have already made significant impacts in the world. But tell me about your purpose, your mission.
Be Blessed, obviously it's spelt B-double-E,
yep.
B-L-E-S-T. And we work with honeybees to help lift people out of poverty. That's our vision.
Great.
So that has a couple of strands to it. One is that the sale of honey and other produce, the profits can go to help start-up, self-sufficient, self-sustaining beekeeping businesses in the third world. And we've helped do that with one community, poor community in Rwanda. And the other strand is that we're helping Sheffield people who are disadvantaged. And in that sense, they're in poverty because they either can't work or they're struggling, they've mental health issues or asylum seekers or recovering addicts. And they have an opportunity to work on the land, learn new skills, make friendships, and sort of do healthy activity, helping the planet as we go.
Grand. Okay, brilliant. So you mentioned you've already supported a community in Rwanda, and that you want to develop and maintain beekeeping in Sheffield as
correct,
well.
Yes. Yep.
So tell us a little bit more then, first of all, about a community in Rwanda that you have supported, because I've been privileged enough to read about this online and to take a look at information online, and we're going to flag up a couple of places online for people to find out more. But tell me more about how you've supported sustainable beekeeping so far.
Well, we're doing it through contacts, people we know already.
Yeah.
So I knew a pastor from a community in Rwanda, known him for some years. This whole enterprise has evolved, really, and it was only a year and a half ago that I think I realised that what had started as a hobby and then developed into something that could be very useful to draw people together here, working together. Then I realised, actually, yes, there's real potential for profits to help the real poor in the world. And because I knew this guy from Rwanda, I just mentioned it, and he went back home and found someone who was really keen
right.
to take it on board. So this was before we launched the enterprise. I did some test trading, if you like. I sort of basically gave people honey and asked for donations. And with that, which was not a large amount, just a few hundred pounds, they were able to buy 8 hives. He was able to get all the training he needed and all the equipment he needed pretty well for for very little money.
And, right.
And so in April, they basically launched their beekeeping business, if you like. It's still in the early stages, still needs ongoing support, which we're providing. And it's just wonderful that they may be able to, from that, he said, that they should be able to come out of a poverty band into a, you know, medium income, and able to send their children to school with the right sort of equipment they need and so on. So it's just lovely to be able to, with relatively minimal effort from us, it's the big effort, of course, is the bees themselves, support people in countries like that. And as we speak, in fact, a friend of ours who's part of the management team is in finishing trekking in Nepal.
Yes.
And in the next day or two, she's meeting with further contacts that we have who are interested in beekeeping in Nepal. So she is going to be talking to them to see how we can work out a way forward. That would be quite challenging because they've no beekeepers for miles around. So I don't know how we're going to do that, but we're looking for those who are keen above all. That's a prerequisite.
Brilliant. Okay, great. So how satisfying to be able to see that you have been able to make an impact already. And
yes,
now you're formalising this by launching the social enterprise.
That's right, yes.
And I'd like to know more also about the apiary site that you've identified here in Sheffield. Before we do that, though, can you just tell me about the idea of the social enterprise in terms of trading? What are you going to be selling? It is honey, is it?
Correct. And hopefully candles as well.
Yep.
I'm sort of halfway through making some. In the future, there may be more products. There's lots of products that you can sell from bees, but some of them are more tricky than others. So we'll just keep it simple. This year, we sold out of our honey very quickly without going to any shops or outlets. It was all friends and family and people we know. You know, I have quite wide networks, but all the honey went and people begging me for it and placing orders for next year now.
This is remarkable.
I hope to have twice as much at least by next year, and we hope to double that each year for the next couple of years.
I see. So double capacity next year and the year
hopefully
after,
yeah
so.
Yes, correct.
So have you always been a beekeeper?
No, we started, but my father really, he loved bees and he kept bees, so I remember bees as a child 50 years ago. And my grandfather had looked after bees. So I suppose I owe thanks to my father for sowing the seed there. I wasn't in a position to do it, being a GP and a pastor, obviously very busy and living in the inner city.
Yes.
It wasn't really feasible. Then I took early retirement from general practice 6 years ago, focused more on the pastoring. And I'm a volunteer coordinator at a local charity as well. And we moved to a place where it became more possible. And then almost 3 years ago, my father, apparently after his two remaining colonies died over the winter, he's 91 now, he would have been 89 then, he purportedly said, the bees have died, so I'm going to die. So my wife supported me. She said, there's a project there, you've got to go for it. So
yes.
I'd already sort of thought about looking after bees. So it started with me supporting my father, getting some swarms down in Maidenhead near London, and then 6-7 months later we brought those up to Sheffield because we found people willing to offer their allotment sites. I mean, the whole of this journey, Jamie, has been lots of people supporting, offering help, providing advice, providing resources. I could list a whole list of people, including an old colleague of mine from med school days who about 20 years ago, sorry, sowed the thought that beekeeping in the third world was a very good way of them developing.
Yes.
So she just sowed that thought. And then allotment keepers were very keen to have bees on their allotments. And then I met a chap called Chris Hardy from Philadelphia Church, who has quite a lot of allotments, a 3-acre site called Promised Land Pantry. And he'd been waiting for 6 years to have a field dedicated to bees for a beekeeper to come along. And so we connected and it was all there ready for me. So I've, you know, that fell into place. And we've basically taken over that site, which is off Bowl Hill Road overlooking Rivlin Valley.
Yes.
About 6 months ago, April, May, the cabin went up in May. It's been a lot of work. So I've needed the support of friends. Sheffield Social Enterprise has helped tremendously. Actually, Erin from Groundwork, that was the sort of enterprise coach I got, was very helpful. And she helped me towards the launch. There was so much I didn't know about starting a social enterprise. In fact, I didn't even think of starting a social enterprise. I was just doing something to help. So as you said earlier, it needed to become formalized, an entity about which I knew nothing. So I've been guided and helped all along. And Sheffield Hallam University, as you know from your other role, one of your other jobs, has also helped me with social media. And in fact, I've got a a session with them this afternoon.
Have you?
Setting up policies for Be Blessed, yeah.
Oh, great. Yeah. Wonderful. So it's been a journey in which there's been lots of collaboration, of support. Oh, as you mentioned, we met at Sheffield Hallam University. I was wearing a different hat there, and I heard about you, and I thought, this is fascinating. So great stuff. And you've had some support from the Social Enterprise Exchange Programme and Erin and so on. So grand, super. Sheffield is a good place to start enterprise.
I've realised that, I feel very blessed and privileged by that,
Grand, excellent. Now, the Rivlin site up at Bowl Hills, overlooking the Rivlin Valley. Yeah. Fascinating. Loads of potential there as well. Loads of potential for the city.
Who knows how far this can expand? But, you know, it's one step at a time, isn't it? Mm. And obviously, I've got some volunteers. I don't need loads, but I have got the right sort of people who are coming alongside me. Tomorrow, one of them, my key volunteer, is actually bringing along a friend of his who's a bit of an electrician. And this guy's going to help with putting on the solar panel on the roof. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, one of my other friends, good friend Frank, who's a bit of a builder. Without him, I'd have been stuck. He was helping with putting some steps in.
Yes.
And he's going to help build a timber deck, which we're currently raising funds for through GoFundMe. And what was I saying? Yes, and there's a wild field, very overgrown. You might have seen the pictures, which we want to turn into an orchard. So we need a bush trimmer. We need hands on deck for that. So, there's a lot to do, And there's no way, I mean, it's basically impossible for me. And that's the beauty of it, that it's got to be team.
Right.
Teamwork. And I need these people, and I've got some lovely people around me. My daughter, who's a filmmaker, she's produced some lovely clips, as you may have seen.
Well, I have seen them, but let's, I think, flag up where people can see them if they're listening to the show and can see these wonderful clips, because you are currently crowdfunding. You've just launched a crowdfunding campaign in support of the social enterprise. I've backed it with a small
contribution.
Yes, thank
you very much, Jamie. I very much appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you for taking the time to come into the show today. But first of all, I will tweet the link out. So if you're listening to the show and you want to find out more about Andrzej and the campaign and Be Blessed, then I will tweet links to it from my Twitter account, Jamie Veach. Now, you do not have to have a Twitter account yourself. Just go to Twitter, look up Jamie Veach, and you'll be able to follow the link that I will post so people can find it. But you can tell us more, Andrzej, about what people will find. What's on the crowdfunding site?
Well, it's GoFundMe. All this is new to me, I hasten to add. But there is this 1.5 minute video clip, which I think does sort of
it is beautifully
encapsulate
shot.
What we're about, or what, and particularly what we're wanting to do at the moment. So that does that, and it's got some testimonies on there of the volunteers who've been coming along, a few pictures. Then we have a website, which I've set up, and it's the first time I've been doing this. So it's a long, slow process, but there's quite a lot on there already. That's www.beblessed.co.uk. And then I've just recently, because of the crowdfunding more than anything else, I've basically got the Facebook page going as well. And we're on Instagram. That's hashtag BeBlessedSheffield.
Right. Loads of beautiful pictures.
Yes, I think that's why I went for Instagram, because the Hallam students said that was probably the best social media platform for this type of enterprise, because it's very visual.
Yes, super. Now, you're here in the studio with us. You've got a jar of honey in front of you. You've got a calendar in front of you as well. And tell us about the calendar, first of all.
Well, I mean, because as I say, it's very visual, and there's a journey we've travelled. I mean, Vistaprint have actually been very good for me with my... I've got this office supplies guy sat next to me, and I'm just conscious that I'm potentially plugging Vistaprint.
Oh, no.
But anyway, they have been producing good business cards.
We facilitate a meeting of lots of different people on this show.
And basically, it was a special offer. And so I thought, well, we'll get 50 calendars done with personalised photographs and tracking our journey through the year. And I mean, it is very personal. So the general public possibly won't be that interested. I've been surprised at who has been buying it. So there you are. That's just tracking the journey. We're keen to keep a record, if you like, as we move on.
And you mentioned that one of the most formative things here was your father and his announcement at age 89 that his bees were going to die.
That they had died and he was going to die. Well, yes, because they meant a lot to him, yeah.
Yeah.
So we've kept them going and he's got a hive to enjoy now. You know, he's had two most of the time since then because we caught some swarms. And those swarms have been actually the supply for... the bees in Sheffield. Basically, I've been bringing them up, the M1, to Sheffield.
How do you bring a swarm of bees up the
M1? In a car. It's not as dangerous as you think. If you seal the hive, you're all right.
Okay.
It's all been a learning curve. And he can enjoy his bees. He can't do a lot with them. He can do a little bit. He can feed them. But I'm basically having to go. I go down regularly anyway to look after him, to sort of take the pressure off my brother and sister down there. So I do... keep an eye on the bees.
But he must be thrilled that you're doing this.
I think
well.
So, yes. Yeah, he is. Yeah. That's it's carrying on in the family.
Yeah.
It links in very well with having been a doctor. Of course, honey and healing are, you know, linked. And quite a lot of people who've been in the church, you know, monks and priests have been beekeepers as well.
Yes.
And Poland is quite a beekeeping nation. So really, I had it stacked against me. I had to become a beekeeper, didn't I?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But it's good for me.
Yes.
To be outdoors
and
connecting with creation rather than, patience is great behind the desk, and I did enjoy my job as a GP, but this is it's very wholesome, really, to be doing that with others who want to learn. You know, men tend to get on well alongside each other, working together, don't they? And that's the beauty of this enterprise, is that I can mix with all types of men, who are often quite low self-worth and not very confident or needing a fresh start, and we can help with that, and it's wonderful.
And you talk about that on the GoFundMe page and on particularly about helping people who perhaps are isolated or at risk of depression and so on. So brilliant. Do you continue then your work as a pastor? I know you've retired from your role as a GP, but you continue to be a pastor?
Correct, yes. We live in the Hillsborough area, but basically operate mainly from the Jesus Centre, between Waitrose Roundabout and the Sheffield University tram stop. That's like the building we tend to use, and that's where I work as a volunteer coordinator part-time.
I see,
So I help with volunteers there, and then, of course, I'm trying to get volunteers for Be Blessed as well.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Well, I'd love to follow the journey of Be Blessed over the next few months and bring you back into the radio show.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks.
And talk again. You've flagged up the website once. I'm going to give you the opportunity to mention the website address again, and I'll tweet out the link to GoFundMe. So tell us, Andrzej, the website address for Be Blessed.
Well, it's www.beblessed.co.uk. Quite straightforward. Be Blessed, BEBLEST.co.uk. And I think we get not sure. There is a Be Blessed in Tasmania that gets quite up on Google. But if you put Be Blessed into Google, you'll probably find us very easily.
Super. Yeah. That's been absolutely fascinating. Andrzej Kurpiel, thank you so much for joining us. And good luck with the crowdfunding campaign.
Thank you very much. And thanks for supporting. Thanks. And thanks for giving us this opportunity.
Well, you're very welcome.
Thank you.
I really look forward to welcoming you back onto the show in the future.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay.
You're listening to Business Live, our weekly business and social enterprise programme with me, Jamie Veitch. We've just been talking about bees. So what track of music should we play? Well, this has been chosen by Andrzej.
Well, yesterday I learned, it's a news that's about a week old, that the bumblebee in eastern North America, the rusty-patched bumblebee, is actually now on the endangered list. It's in severe danger of extinction. So when you asked me for a track, the Bumblebee by Rimsky-Korsakov. As you listen to this, you can just imagine not just bumblebees but bees buzzing away and working jolly hard. They work jolly hard, these workers, and they do it all, and we're blessed by it, you know. So I never forget that they are the hardest working, amongst the hardest working creatures that there are, really. So as you listen to this buzzy music, you might like to just imagine bees pollinating our crops and flowers.
Let's enjoy that now.
We're open for business life.
This is Business Live, Sheffield Live's weekly business and social enterprise programme with me, Jamie Veitch. We've been talking about bees with Anjay Kirpiel earlier on. If you've only just tuned in and you've missed that, then panic not. The podcast will be up on the Sheffield Live website from about 11 a.m. today. Go to sheffieldlive.org, look up our programme. I had a mental block there for a second. Obviously not enough coffee. Look up Business Live and find today's radio show, and you'll be able to find the interview with Anjay, who was on earlier. Fascinating stuff. Now, equally fascinating is going to be our next interviewee, Steve Manley. I'm really pleased to welcome him to the studio. Steve, good morning.
Morning, Jamie.
So I mentioned at the start of the programme, you are the youngest ever president of the Sheffield Chamber at just 43.
Yes, I am indeed. And it's quite interesting because my relationship started with the Chamber some 25 years ago. With my first role, I was a young customer care representative selling office supplies, and one of my accounts was Sheffield Chamber, and probably the most prestigious account that I'd got. So yeah, my relationship and history with the Chamber does actually go back quite a long way.
It really does, doesn't it? So you were just 18 when that relationship with the Chamber started. Fascinating stuff. So I know that one of the things that you're particularly passionate about is youth entrepreneurship, mm-hmm. and you have a really interesting history. You've just alluded to part of it, but you started a business, a sort of bedroom-based startup when you were a teenager, and grew it and developed it to a massive business. So tell us more about your entrepreneurial journey.
Well, the journey first started at college. I was doing a business studies course, and part of the course was to start up. It was called Young Enterprise.
Yes.
And we had to start up our own business. There was 20 of us within the team, and we started up an office supplies company called Paper Chain. So it was part of the college course, but we had to go and buy the stationery and basically sell it. The plan was to sell it to fellow students. Out of the 20, I was elected as MD, and we sold it into students, but then I wanted to go out selling to the local businesses. So along with my sales director, we were both 17 at the time, we went knocking on doors, selling office supplies. So that was really my first introduction to business. And I think the thing that really grabbed me was, at that same time, I'd got three other jobs as a paper boy, car washing, pot washing. And the first time we actually sold two boxes of lever arch files, we bought them for £10 and we sold them for £15 per box. So instantly we'd made £10 profit. And I, to this one customer, and I just remember it was almost like a golden moment where it was suddenly the light had switched on, and I thought, wow, I've just made £10.
Yes.
For me to have made that money delivering papers or washing pots or car washing, that would have taken me 3 hours, and I've made that £10 almost instantly. So I think it was quite an early age where I realised that in order to make money, that was the way to sell a product rather than your own time.
Yes.
And I think that was the first moment where I realised that was a career path that I wanted to go down. Another part of the college course was called human resources. So we had to apply for a job, and I applied for, it was a company called Corporate Express, which is then Staples. So I applied to be their sales manager. So I got the Sheffield Star, saw the advert, applied to be the sales manager, and I said I was currently the managing director of an office supplies company. I didn't state my age, so I technically didn't lie, but I said I was the managing director. I was vastly experienced in stationery, and can I have a job specification and a job description? To which they very kindly sent through, but bizarrely, they actually invited me for an interview.
Did they?
So I spoke to my mother and father and said, well, I think I'll probably just politely turn the interview down, to which my dad said, no, you won't. You know, go for the interview. It's a great experience. So I did. And I always remember walking through the door. They were based on Ecclesall Road.
Right.
And the branch manager came to see me. And he looked me up and down and said, blooming heck, that explains your application.
Really?
And I said, sorry, what do you mean? And he said, well, you've said you're vastly experienced in stationery. You're that vastly experienced, you've even spelt it wrong. So I think that was a very valuable lesson in business, not to lie, because you always do get caught out. So I went for the interview. I didn't get the job, but I explained what I was doing with Young Enterprise and that I had a passion to get into business. And my plan was to go to university. But to cut a long story short, they actually offered me a job, not as the sales manager, but as a trainee telesales.
Yes.
Doing the admin, doing the general office duties. And I deferred my entry to university and took the role. And I absolutely loved the role. I always remember the first, that was in May, and I remember in that December, it was heavy snow. I still do live in a place called Worrell, which was about 5 miles away. And it was heavy snow, and my dad woke me up at 5 o'clock and said, right, you need to get into the office. It's snowing, there's no buses. So I got up and walked all the way to Ecclesall Road and was there for 8:30, and there was nobody there.
So you walked from Worrell.
And I was the only person there. And eventually the branch manager turned up who lived half an hour away. And she got there and she was amazed that I got there. And we opened up, and out of the 25 people that worked there, I lived the furthest away, and I was the only one that had really got there apart from the manager. And I spent a lot of that day actually talking to her about my plans to try and get into actually selling, and I wanted the next step up. And I think that was, she'd seen the commitment that I got, and then very soon after she gave me the role of contacting customers, and so Sheffield Chamber was my customer. And I stayed there, I stayed in that business for 8 years and progressed to, at 21 hours, they gave me the opportunity to run the Leeds branch, of which there was 22 people in the team. I was the youngest by 9 years. The next youngest to me was 30. So I went in there to manage the team. It was a poor performing team. And the sales director basically of Corporate Express gave me the directive of, you know, you need to turn it round and you can do what you need to do. And I changed 80% of the team in the first year, because they were a poor performing team. Got a high energy, positive, energetic team, and within 2 years it became the highest performing branch out of the 14. I then became a regional director, and at that point Corporate Express got bought out by Staples.
Yeah,
the whole philosophy of the business changed. Previously it was very customer care orientated business, so in office supplies you want your own driver, your own dedicated telesales, your own account manager. Price and product quality is important, but service is absolutely paramount. And at that time they were basically closing all the branches down, centralizing everything, and the new MD was from America.
Yes.
And I was on the sales board, and he called a meeting, and he basically said, right, look, there was three of us on the board, and he said, we're looking to close all these branches down and centralise everything into Birmingham. Does anybody have any questions? And I said, well, I think we need to be really careful because somebody in Scotland won't understand somebody in Birmingham. And he said, I don't understand what you mean. And I said, well, basically, it's a different country. I said, so the languages and the accents, that it's very different. A Scottish accent compared to a Birmingham accent is very different. To which he basically chastised me and said, I've done this in Florida. Florida is the same size as the UK. If it works in Florida, it'll work in the UK. To which I said, it won't. You know, Florida's a state.
Yeah.
You're talking about different countries. And it didn't work. And it was at that point when I became slightly disillusioned. But all the way through my career at Corporate Express, I was an employee.
Yes.
And whilst I enjoyed the role and it was well remunerated, I just had this desire to go back and be able to earn money for myself. And I still remembered the Young Enterprise days, and where I had that light bulb moment where I thought, well, if I can sell it myself, I can make money for myself. So at that point, I had a director at the business that I was very good friends with and worked with and had a lot of respect with, a guy called Mark Broadbent. And we decided to leave and set up on our own business.
Yes.
In mother and father-in-law's back bedroom in Worrell. And and that's when it first started, back in 2002. And it's, you know, it's progressed and gone well ever since. But bizarrely, again, in 2002, one of the first customers I wanted to specifically target was Sheffield Chamber, because I wanted them as a customer, but more importantly, I knew the benefits of what the Chamber could offer me and my business from a networking perspective, a support network, helping the business with the various different offers that their membership offer gives you. So that's how I actually got back into running my own business in 2002 and back involved with the Chamber.
Isn't that remarkable as well? I mean, And it is a familiar story when an organisation grows and is bought out by a giant corporate, and the corporate comes in and thinks that we know best, and the valuable senior employees who've been actually growing the business, passionate perhaps about customer care, about their staff, about their team, and the corporate wants to do things in a different way, and that can be a springboard for you to go, not quite sure I like this. I mean, of course, it can be an entirely positive experience, but it can be a catalyst for someone going off and doing this. And perhaps if the chap from Florida who came over had said, yes, okay, Steve, you're right, and we'll do it this way, you wouldn't necessarily have left at the time and set up, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah, to be honest, I'd always had a desire to work for myself and be my own boss. Yeah. But I look back then, the current managing director, the managing director and the sales director before they got dismissed, I think because they'd mentored me and they'd sponsored me and they'd given me the opportunity, I think out of loyalty, I wouldn't have wanted to do that to them and to leave them. So I sometimes, it's almost like a sliding doors moment. I actually wonder if they had stayed, I probably would have stayed. I think ultimately at some point I would have set up on my own, but I think I would have certainly stayed for a few years later on.
Yeah. Great. Okay, that's interesting. So you set up Universal then in 2002, and you targeted the Chamber as a potential customer. How long did it take you to win them as a customer?
Well, the first thing I did was I became a member.
Yeah.
And I realised that to be successful in any city, and I think particularly in Sheffield, you need to raise your profile as an individual and as a business. And the Chamber was one of a few different network organisations and membership organisations, and the Chamber is the largest membership organisation in the city, that I needed to be active, I needed to be seen at events, but I was always taught that to get something, you need to give something.
Yes.
So rather than me go to the Chamber events with a pocket full of business cards, trying to talk to people and saying, can I quote you on your office supplies, can I talk to you on this? One of the first guys I met was a gentleman called Tony Gregory, and at the time he was a managing partner of Keeble Horsens. He's since retired. And I remember speaking to Tony, and he was giving me some business advice about, you need a shareholders agreement, you need this in place. And I said, well, can you help me with that, Tony? And Tony, they became our solicitors for all that work. And then Tony said, well, I'll let you have a look at our office supplies. And we end up quoting them for their office supplies, and they're still a customer to that day. But I think that gave me the knowledge that to gain something, you need to give something first. And I think you can't purposely set out to try and do that. You need to naturally be that type of person to want to try and help people. And then it does ultimately come back. But I think you've got to be that type of person where you naturally. My mother was a nurse, and she's a naturally very caring person, and still is. And I think if you're brought up that way, even if you're in the nursing sector or if you're in a business sector, if that's the way you're brought up, that's the way that you will continue to lead your life. Yes. And I think that's really helped me in my business career.
And it is, Sheffield is a place where we've talked about social enterprise earlier on in the programme, but there are a huge number of values-driven businesses. So ordinary businesses, perhaps not constituted as a social enterprise, but ordinary businesses that give an enormous amount to the communities in Sheffield in different ways, and without asking for, without trying to do this as some sort of publicity drive or to get something in response. I have noticed, having worked in many cities, but living in Sheffield for the last 18 years, Sheffield as a place, the business community, a large part of it is very involved. So the Chamber then, and your involvement with the Chamber and joining the Chamber right at the offset of the business and being motivated to support other businesses as well and to be part of the largest membership organisation. The Chamber itself, I mean, it's like any institution. It's been through its ups, its downs, and all sorts. It's been over the last few years, we've been through a global and national recession. The Chamber has evolved. The Chamber has refined and developed its membership offer as well. What are you most excited about in your new role as president of the Chamber? What are your priorities going to be? What do you think... what do you hope to achieve if you're sitting here in 12 months' time, or say 11 months' time, saying, you know, this is the end of my year as president, I'm really proud of doing X? What would that be?
Well, I think if you look at the Chamber historically, before I answer that question, when I go back many years ago, I think it was seen very much as an old boys' club. And when I first went on the Chamber Council, I look at the people around, and again, this is no disrespect, but the average age was probably 60, 99% were male, and they were all from either, and again, no disrespect, but either banking, insurance, accounts, solicitors. It was very much sort of that type of sector of people. And I think over the years, and I think that's probably partly why they wanted me to become involved on the Chamber Council, then as board, then as president, because I was an advocate for diversity in every setting, whether that's age or any level. And I look now at the Chamber, we've got the COO is female, the FD is female, we've got female board directors, we've had our first female two presidents in the last 10 years, and Louisa from Benchmark Recruitment is the chair of Chamber Council. So we have a real diversity now within the Chamber, and that's something that we need as a business or as an organisation to continue with. So part of my aims and objectives is to continue the diversity of the Chamber. But my main strategy or main aim and objective is really going back to what I did when I was at college, is to try and help young enterprise. You look at the business community now in Sheffield, and it is a very diverse community, and the millennials are the future of the business community in Sheffield. So I'm wanting to try and organise an annual event starting sometime next year, to which will be called the Yes Event. So that'll be the Young Entrepreneurial Showcase, which will be run by the Chamber, headed up by myself as president and as the chair to organise it. And I've already spoken, I've been overwhelmed by the support that I've got from a bank, which is our bank, by the Sheffield College, Sheffield University, Sheffield Hallam University, Sheffield Futures, Sheffield Council, Sheffield Chamber. So I'm wanting to try and get us together to look at how we can put an event together to really try and bring the young entrepreneurs together and do a showcase. We've got a meeting that will be planned for January to discuss the agenda and to try and ensure we can deliver a program that people want to come and attend, and that is worthwhile for young entrepreneurs, where they can learn something, they can see some speakers, we can try and raise the profile of what a young entrepreneur should do. Because I talk to graduates and I talk to people coming out of university, and I still think that what's lacking is the education system not telling them how to start up their own business, how to manage the cash, how to go about buying a house, how to get insurance, how to speak to a solicitor. So if you want to start a business, a lot of these facets are missing.
Yes.
And I think that's something where I want to put something together for young entrepreneurs that want to start their own business in Sheffield, or have started a new business and want specific help and guidance, because the amount of young businesses that won't have correct insurance, won't have correct banking, won't have correct legal documents in place, don't understand that cash is king, and if you don't manage your cash, your business won't survive. And the number of businesses that fail, young entrepreneurial businesses that fail, in my opinion, fail not because their product is good or not because they're not a good entrepreneur. It's because they've not got the setup of the business correct. Now, I've done that. I know what to do. I speak to a lot of people. It's not that I've been particularly clever. It's just I've been probably fortunate to seek out very good advisors in my very early days, whether that was accounts, solicitors, bank, insurance, and business mentoring, and I think that's key for any young business moving forward. So that's my main aim and objective, to try and promote young entrepreneurship within the city.
Right, grand. And we are talking really practical stuff here as well, because, and I think you're spot on there, because there is a little bit of a sort of heropreneur worship stuff going on, where we are bombarded with inspiration about XYZ entrepreneur has made it through hard work and dreams and following their dreams and blah, 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 this, blah, 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 that. And so young people probably see that entrepreneurialism is something that they can aspire to. Entrepreneurialism in a traditional sense or in social enterprise too, because we know that a huge proportion of millennials want to do something, work in a business that makes a contribution to society as well. I don't think there's a shortage of inspiration. I think you're right. There is a shortage of practical how-to stuff so that people know how to, well, how to ensure their business, how to manage the cash and so on. I think here in Sheffield, there are some very, very good initiatives that give people practical support. But I'm really pleased to hear of your plans for a young entrepreneurial event and to give people access to the support that you've identified is needed. So that's going to be great. I look forward to hearing more about that. Fabulous. Now, listeners then thinking running a business, running a small business, a large business, running a social enterprise, and thinking, should I join the chamber? What would be your message to them, Steve?
I think that to join the chamber, you look at it from the outside and you don't really know what you actually get and what the benefits of the chamber offer. And I think if you're a young business and you're wanting to understand what a chamber can do, you know, contact the chamber. The account managers and the team that they've got at the chamber, there's a very, very good energetic team within the chamber. So I would say contact the chamber, get in touch with the chamber, see how the chamber can benefit yourself, and go and talk to them. Come and talk to the chamber. We can give you advice on in terms of who you should connect to if you're a young entrepreneur. We can point you in the right direction. And the chamber's not just there to say, right, let's take your membership off you, let's take the money off you, and then we'll see you in a year's time. You know, that's something the chamber doesn't really want to do. No. That we're not there just to take the money off you for you to put a certificate on your wall saying you're a member of the chamber. We want members to engage. We want them to get the return on their investment. And it's a very passionate team there that wants to ensure that we are helping all businesses, you know, young or old, regardless, but particularly young entrepreneurs.
Absolutely. Great stuff. Well, we've got about 2-3 minutes left before we wrap up the show today. And I've really, really enjoyed speaking with you, Steve. What else would you like to flag up? What else do we know about? I know, for example, the Business Awards are coming up. Exciting. Lovely event. I've been for the last few years. We flagged up on the show 2 or 3 weeks ago that when the shortlist was announced. You must be looking forward to going along to those.
I'm really excited. That the Business Awards is probably the biggest event in Sheffield. It's on Thursday the 29th of November at Ponds Forge.
Yep.
There are still some tables available, so shameless plug. If you're wanting to book a table or book a space, please do. Please contact the Chamber. And it'll be a fantastic event. I've been helped the team with the organisation. So Dan Walker from BBC Breakfast is hosting the event. We've got Paul Pashley, who many people will know as a Sheffield-based singer who's extremely talented, so I'm really looking to hear Paul. And there's some great features. The other day I was filming an advert with Arnie Singh from City Taxis, and it's worth the entry money just to see that video alone, which will be shown at the end of the evening. So, please come along. It'll be a great event and look forward to seeing you all there.
Great stuff. So details about that are on the Chamber website.
They are indeed.
And get going now to secure your space. I know the event normally sells out, so just a few places left, but act quickly. Brilliant. Well, Steve, people can find out more about you, your public biography on LinkedIn. They can, of course, check out the Chamber website. They can check out the Universal Office Products website as well. So it's been absolutely fascinating hearing about you and your priorities today. Really appreciate you taking the time. Is there anything else you wanted to flag up? Any, I don't know, I sometimes ask people, you know, biggest lesson they've learned in business, which they know now and wish they'd known that they started. And I think you've actually shared some really sage advice here about taking good quality advice from good people early on. But is there anything else you'd like to flag about your new role as president of the chamber or what you've learnt in business or anything like that?
I think in terms of business, the two things I would say is try not to worry. So many times people really worry, have sleepless nights. And I think one thing I've learned over business is not to worry.
Yeah.
There's a great book by Dale Carnegie saying, you know, about stop worrying and get on with life. That's a great book. And I think the other thing is always be optimistic. There's a great Winston Churchill quote, which is the pessimist sees the difficulty in every opportunity and an optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty. And I am an optimist. And yeah. I think that's a great way to try and look at life and manage your life by not worrying and always be optimistic. And that's something I say to my son every single morning. Today's going to be a great day. Have a great day. And I truly believe that. And I know you've got a song lined up,
yes.
Which is a song that I picked. And this is the theme tune on my phone when anybody rings me. Yeah. And I think it just makes you feel better. So yes, thank you for having me, Jamie. It's been great to talk to
Steve,
you.
Steve, thank you so much for coming in today. I've really enjoyed it. I really look forward to watching what you do in your role as president of the chamber with great interest. Come back on the show again, please,
I will do.
And Steve Manley, new president of the Sheffield Chamber and joint MD, Universal Office. Thank you very much indeed for taking the time today.
You are very welcome.
And you've been listening to Business Live, our weekly business and social enterprise programme with me, Jamie Veitch. Fascinating chats today with super guests. Really appreciate them taking the time, Steve and Andrzej. If you've only just tuned in, then the show podcast will be up on the Sheffield Live website at about 11 a.m. today. So catch it there. We'll be back on air next Friday, 9 until 10. But don't go now, because next up is our fantastic folk music programme. Thank goodness it's folk, from 10 all the way through to noon. And we are indeed going to play out with a track of music chosen by Steve Manley. This is U2, and the track is Beautiful Day.
We're open for Business Live.